Hey, and welcome to the Paints and Polishing Podcast. Hey, this is Marty, Total Auto Solutions. Thank you so much for listening, no matter if you're driving or walking the dog. Whoever walks their dog is pathetic. That's why you should get a bulldog. That way they just lay around and sleep all day long. Hey, anyway, no matter what you're doing, stop. Put your phone down or your listening device. Go to a computer or pick your phone back up now that you've put it down. Open up your web browser and go to freebeersema.com. All right, hey, October 30th, Gordon Beers Brewery, 2 hours, free beer. Who doesn't love free beer? Go to freebeersema.com and we're going to host a pint night. All the beer you can drink between 8 and 10 o'clock, the Gordon Beers Brewery. But you have to go sign up at freebeersema.com. Cool. Ready? Great episode right here. This was so much fun. Jake and DJ go all round and about employee headaches. Jake has a really great shop up in the town of Warrensburg, Missouri, which is over by Kansas City. And so we are drinking none other than Boulevard, because when I think Kansas City, I mean, that's the beer I think. Boulevard has some really great beers. We're just going with the straight original Boulevard wheat. Most commonly when you're at the bar and you get a Boulevard, you're getting their Boulevard wheat. But if you're over in that area, I highly recommend going and doing the tour. They've got some really great beers you can get in their tap room. Very selective that don't get out much. Anyway, enjoy the podcast. Make it a great day. Jake, hey man, thank you for coming on to the Pints and Polishing Podcast. I really appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate the invite. Glad to be here.
Yeah, man. Hopefully we will get, there he is, Mr. Patterson has now joined in.
What's up?
I'm just drinking a little cold Boulevard. What about you?
Second one.
I knew I would be behind.
Yes, on Boulevard, there's no way you can be ahead.
Well, I might have you guys both beat. I am on my second Boulevard, but I was so excited about joining the Pints and Polishing Podcast that I did pregame it with some Busch Light, and that's totally a Missouri thing. Don't hold it against me.
Wow.
Very impressive. Bush.
Yeah.
Very impressed.
Well, Marty usually tell them about your pregame, Marty.
Well, that's for mowing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's not usually a pregame podcasting.
Huh.
That I remember, is there?
Maybe the ones we don't remember.
Hey, so is Busch Light like your go-to, like, chug a beer? Is that, like, why'd you grab Busch Light?
No, 100%. Yeah, we're fancy around here, so we just call them lattes. I haven't been in college for quite a while, but a little piece of, you know, that never died, and that's always been our go-to. So it makes Boulevard taste a lot better after you're done with one, though.
Wow.
DJ's go-to is Natty Light.
No, it's not. No, it's definitely not. My go-to has always been Boulevard, but as of lately, I don't drink it that much like I used to.
Your go-to is Coors Light.
My go-to American lager is Coors Light, but for the longest time, I've always had Boulevard wheat in my refrigerator.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that.
So, Jake, tell us who you are. You're from up by Kansas City in the metropolis of Warrensburg.
Yeah, as you remember, as you were pulling into town, you saw the mule country signs and were very concerned that, you know, maybe wild mules were running around everywhere. I'm in Warrensburg, Missouri, the home of the University of Central Missouri Mules, and it's 35 miles southeast of Kansas City. So that's where professional auto detailing sets up shop.
And that's your name, right? Professional Auto Detailing of Warrensburg?
Yes, it is. Pretty flashy name.
It is very flashy. How many people are in the metropolis of Warrensburg?
With not counting the university, we've got about 20,000. And then with the university in session, we've got over 30,000 that are in the town, and then down the road we've got a pretty big Air Force base where the B-2s are housed, and that's its own little community in itself. So drive up the road and then you're in the suburbs of Kansas City.
So you're what, like an hour kind of southwest, is that right? Southeast?
Southeast, yes, sir.
Yeah, nice. And what, so full-on college professor, right? Like, but what do you teach?
I mean, I'll take the professor part as a compliment. I try not to church it up. I'm an instructor. I don't have those three magical letters after my last name. I teach pretty much everything from college algebra to calculus to statistics, but definitely not a PhD. So not in the cards for me, I don't think.
Okay, so I didn't know there was a different, like, what's the difference in a professor and a teacher? I just figured you were in a college, you're a professor.
Probably a few IQ points, but besides that, I've just got the master's degree, and the professors have PhDs, and that's probably about the difference, I guess.
Okay.
Now, and the paycheck.
You get paid, right? I get that. What about tenure? Can you get tenured as, or do you have to get a doctorate to be tenured?
That the doctorate is required, so they could call me up any day and say, "Hey, Jake, you are now a professional detailer full time." You are at any point in time, so not protected like those other guys.
How long have you been teaching?
Since I was in grad school in 2012, and I started full time with a college nearby in 2014. So teaching for about 6 years, professionally for almost five now.
What made you, like, why? What made you, what was it that draws you to teaching at a university?
At a university specifically, because I remember when I was in high school and how me and all my friends treated the teachers. So I didn't want to get the karma on that. But no, college, it's pretty laid back. I decided I didn't want to go the suit and tie and high rise type route. And I like teaching. I like the kids, they're goofballs. And it's a lot of fun. It's a pretty chill job and allows me to venture into other things, such as detailing.
We'll get there. I still like, I'm gonna camp out on this teacher thing. DJ, he mentioned students in high school to their high school teachers. Who were you as a student to your teacher?
I'm very quiet and behind the scenes.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it depends on what we're talking about. So middle school, elementary school, I was a little shit. Now, high school, I kind of like slid under the radar. I didn't really give my teachers much shit at all. What's up?
What grades did you make?
Oh, I always made like A's and B's. Just school was pretty easy. Now there was like senior year or junior year when I was just doing a bunch of stupid stuff and I would just like slide by. So I was doing like, C's and whatever just to get by. But I mean, when I was taking it serious, I mean, I could make A's and B's easily. But
really?
I slipped through high school. I literally slipped through high school.
I'm not a big fan of the way Marty said "really" when you said A's and B's, DJ. I don't know if
I ignore that kind of ignorance. I ignore it. Yeah. So you mentioned statistics, and that's the reason I quit, dropped out of college was because statistics class.
Really?
I literally walked out. We had an exam. And I missed a few classes, and I was way behind. You missed a few classes of statistics, like, and I get into the exam, I'm like, oh man, I don't know any of this shit on here at all. So I just literally like got up and walked out and never to return to college ever again. Like I had like 6 credits left to get my associate's degree, and I don't have any care in the world to get it.
So you'll find this that I've never knew that story. And here's what is very ironic about it, DJ. I am horrible at math. I took, all the basic that I could and just would see, like barely squeak by algebra and all that. Algebra 2, my junior year of high school, I made a
D minus. And she said the teacher was like, called me and was like, she really wanted to fail me. She wanted me to take it again because I failed the final and I failed all the last stuff. And she was like, but you had made the C, and so you'll have to pass you with the D minus. I was like, cool. And I thought I was done. Like, I got to college and like, I had to take, so I took intermediate, like I took whatever I could, like just the dumbest stuff I could take just to get by. And the last math class that I had to take was statistics.
Wow.
I stopped studying because it was so easy for me. I don't know why statistics, suddenly I got statistics. I breezed through that class and made an A. One of my only A's in college. I couldn't believe it. I don't even remember, like, what is statistics, Jake?
So everyone thinks, you know, everyone asks me when I say, you know, my master's in statistics, they think, oh, you got, you know, like batting averages and stuff. Yes, that is a statistic, but, you know, the goal is to take a bunch of data and, you know, run through some processes and then make educated decisions based on that. And that's the whole idea behind, you know, statistics is to, you know, make good decisions in the real world. And it's more than just, you know, like I said, the batting averages and stuff. But for both of you guys, I think what's kind of funny is you've told a story that I've heard a million times from college kids, and you guys being businessmen, I've done this with students before, is I've put a dollar sign in front of the number and then they become wizards in math and statistics. And that, you know, I just put it in terms of money and they're calculating percentages in their head. They're doing averages. They're telling me the expected values and stuff like that. And so then I say, okay, now the test just isn't going to have a dollar sign, and something clicks. Ultimately, that's the math as businessmen that we're worried about, right?
The money.
Yeah, but so I couldn't remember what was in the statistics class. I mean, that was 20 years ago. I just remember I aced it. Like I literally stopped studying. It was awesome. But really? It's taking data, analyzing it, and then creating an answer out of it. So that helps me in my quest to learn more about myself. Interesting. Cool. So you are a teacher, a professor. What possessed you to create, buy, open? Like, what's your story? What made you want to create and own professional auto detailing of Warrensburg?
I like how you used the word possessed. Because, you know, maybe something did possess me to jump into this. And sometimes I think, you know, I probably was not of sound mind and body when I did get into this. But on other days, I'm like, hell yeah, brother, this is awesome. So I think that's just kind of the roller coaster. But a very true American high school kid story is the fact that, you know, a lot of us are enthralled with cars. You get your first truck or, you know, you get your first car and you try to soup it up or keep it clean and stuff like that. And, you know, maybe put a stereo system in it. And that was me and all my friends for sure. So I think I mentioned this to you one time and you were super excited for some weird reason, but I had a 93 Danger Ranger and you were like, oh man, you got a mini truck. Show me. And I couldn't find any pictures of the old Danger Ranger. So that was my first vehicle. And this past year, what'd you say your mini truck was, Marty?
Yeah. So I didn't have the full out mini truck, but I had a 89. So I would have been 16 and 94. And, I had an 89, Chevy S10.
Yeah. We would have been cruising around together up and down the strip all night long.
It wasn't lowered, but whoever had it before put some chrome rims on it and had some type of a little stereo in the back because it, you know, it had some wires and had an amplifier. It wasn't badass. They took the, like, you know, of course they took the bass out of it. All I had was some decent, you know, whatever those mid-range. I don't get into that, so I don't know. But it sounded pretty good.
In those chrome rims, you probably could have kept pretty clean with some hyper clean degreaser, I bet. But to answer your question, about this time, well, last summer or so, there was another detail shop in town that's been around for a long time. And through the grapevine, got in with a friend and kind of had an opportunity to, you know, scoop it up as an investment, did a lot of research into, I should have done more, as we all should when we get into businesses, but did my research into the business and into the industry. Thought it would be a good thing to get in at, and just kind of took it from there. Kind of merged an old hobby, kind of resurfaced, and I've entrepreneurship is something that's kind of always been in my blood, one way or another. I mean, I know that I teach for a state school, but that spirit, I think, has always been there. So I just kind of right place, right time, good timing on a few different things, and you know, fortunately, it's something that I'm passionate about. So that makes it a little easier.
And so you took it over? Is that what it was?
I planned on taking it over. I planned on just, you know, buying the LLC and running with it. And once I dug deeper and deeper into it, I decided that I wanted to buy it, shut it down, and then do everything right. And that's exactly what I did. Well, I'm still striving to do everything, you know, the best I possibly can, but it was not the company that you see today. There was no such thing as a ceramic coating. It was a good company. You know, they did a great job for a long time, and it was just time to take it to the next level, really, with Next Level Coatings, CCY.
Wow.
I've got a whole list right here, so, you know, just bear with me.
Nice. All right, so how's it been college professor or not professor, teacher, whatever,
good.
Taking over a detail shop, like, right in that, like, that's got to be a massive challenge.
It's by any stretch of the imagination, it's super weird, you know. That's just not a very common, not a very logical combination, but it was just kind of right time, right place. And so, you know, I mean, I detail, but I kind of, you know, me and my wife own the company, and we try to set up the company for success and, you know, let the crew do their job and, you know, put out high-end services that the community can really appreciate. And that's kind of the setup, really.
How much are you involved, like, day-to-day?
DJ, does this resonate with you if I were to say way too much?
Absolutely.
Okay, then yeah,
Got back from vacation. I was gone for like 8 days, and I completely separated from the business like 100%.
Oh man, that's
awesome. And since I've gotten back, I'm like, how can I make this how can I make this an everyday thing to where I don't do anything at all?
So to put this in perspective, classes start back up next Monday. I've got meetings on Friday and all this stuff. Tomorrow, I've worked very hard these past couple weeks for tomorrow to do exactly what you just said, DJ. Tomorrow, I've told everyone as of, you know, 5:30 p.m. Tonight, I am off the grid. I'm going to do Pints and Polishing podcast. I'm going to turn off my work phone. I'm going to resurface on Friday morning at 7 a.m. and go from there. So that's my vacation.
Hey man, it's needed.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere, I mean, or doing anything. I'm just gonna, you know,
things
turn
are
off
gonna
the phone.
The ball's gonna drop here and there. Things are gonna get messed up. But like I told Hayden ran the company while I was gone. He did a good job, really good job actually. But I was like, hey man, look, like, unless there's a fire, like, I don't care. Like, if you guys get into a wreck, you know where the insurance card's at. Like, get a rental car. Like, don't call me. Like, I don't want to know anything.
That's so awesome. I've seen Hayden's work on Instagram, by the way. Top notch. Great,
yeah,
detailer.
He's great. He's phenomenal.
So what all did you do on vacation, DJ? Fill us in.
Oh, man. Long story short, because I don't like to give all the details, we got a beach house at in Sarasota, Florida. There was a red tide at the time, so there was, like, toxic algae everywhere. You couldn't go to the beach. There was, like, dead fish all over the beach. It smelled horrific. So that sucked because we got the beach house specifically for the beach where the white sand is at Siesta Key. That sucked, but we went out. It was a good nightlife out there. It was a nice little town. We just went from Sarasota to Fort Lauderdale to Port St. Lucie. We literally just traveled all over Florida. We drove so much, but it was worth. Like, it wasn't a relaxing, like, we just sat and chilled at the beach. It was like we went and saw my wife's family. We went and, like, ate at different restaurants that had different, like, cultured food, like Haitian food and what do we have? Trinidadian, like Trinidad food. Like, that was by far my favorite. So a lot of, like, cultured foods.
We went to the beach
a few times, but what's that?
What was it?
Where was it?
No, what? I mean.
Oh, it was called roti. And it's like you get, like, it's like a curry. It's like they have oxtail and chicken and different types of meats, but it's like flavored and they're like curry flavored. And then you have this like this bread that you it was amazing. That's right up your alley, literally.
It's complete. That is so. Roti canai is literally my favorite thing in all of the world.
It was phenomenal. And even Aisha said, she goes, "Hey, this is the kind of food Marty likes." I was like, "Yeah, this is literally his. This is his style right here."
So there is a couple of places where you can buy roti frozen, and then I get it. It's not the same, but you can buy it frozen and then put it out on your skillet and make it. And it's pretty close. It's not the same, but it's.
I mean, the whole staff, they were literally like they were the culture. It was phenomenal. It was out, like, you know, I like to eat, like, it was. Yeah, we ate a lot of food. I probably gained about 5-10 pounds for sure. But yeah, I mean, it was just I lost it all already, but I did gain. And I think one of the funnest parts too is I rented a scooter and Aisha and I went and rode down the coast on a little moped and just looked at the houses and the beach and the sea. It was cool.
Nice, man. That's good. All right, so let's talk about this beer. We definitely picked it because Boulevard is right up in Kansas City. If anybody is in that Midwest area, definitely worth a trip to go to the Boulevard Brewery. It's actually a very good tour. And then once you get to their little tap room, you can walk over and go to they've got the tap room's kind of like what, up the stairs. Is that right, Jake? If I remember, it kind of goes up, really big tap room. And they've got like a giant, not giant, but they've got an old camper, one of those, what are those fancy campers that?
Airstream.
They've got like an Airstream type camper where you can, they've got their own photo booth. Like, it's a very, very nice tap room. And then you can walk down to their gift shop and actually buy, they got this whole wall of beer that you can pick and make your own six packs, you know, and that's beer fresh from the brewery. It's a really great place. Have you done the tour, Jake?
Oh yeah, definitely. It was a few years ago. And before we did the tour, I don't know if you guys would guess this about me, but we pre-gamed
the Bush Light. Yeah.
No, it's awesome. Boulevard's definitely, if you're visiting Kansas City, you got to go. And there's a few things, you know, you have on your list if, you know, by chance you're passing through or whatever. And that's definitely on the list to check out the Boulevard tour. I made the mistake of the week after I turned 21, I went and visited some friends in St. Louis, and we did the Anheuser-Busch tour. So being the naive 21-year-old that I was, I saw, you know, Anheuser-Busch and then had the wrong impression as to, you know, breweries as to what they were supposed to look like. So everything I've seen after that, I get through the tour and it's like, oh wait, that was it. I feel like there should be more, but AB it's a large operation, in case you guys didn't know.
No, I've never been to that one.
They make a lot of beer.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I missed that. I was saying, so is Budweiser, is that a good, are you saying that's a good tour or bad? I didn't get
it. No, it was a great tour. It's like, it's hours long. And so when I toured Boulevard, you know, the tours, you know, 15, 20 minutes or whatever. And So I kind of got my, you know, it was skewed. My perspective was skewed by having my my first brewery tour be AB.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I thought the Boulevard tour was really good myself, and we had a really great tour guide. He walked us around and explained everything. You know, I think a beer that we definitely should have on sometime would be, and you know, if we would have thought about it a little better, I should have said, let's do Tank 7. Ooh. That's an incredible beer, and it's a really cool story how they messed up. Apparently, there was something inside the valve or something on the tank. I don't remember if it was a computer program, something, but something happened and it messed up the tank. And they were about to pour out the tank because they'd messed it up. The brewmaster was like, let me just taste it. And he tasted it and it was like, wait a second. So then everybody else came over and tasted it. And they were like, we got to recreate this beer. And they named it after the tank that messed up, and that's Tank 7.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Very cool. Like that. Those kind of stories don't happen very often. And so we were on that tour, and he was like, "So, anybody got any questions?" And I was like, "Yes, I've always wanted to know," because you're sitting at a bar and somebody tells you the story, you don't know if it's true. And he was like, "Yep, yeah, it's true." So. That's a really great beer to have in their farmhouse ale series, Tank 7. Super delicious.
There's a reason that Tank 7 is like comes in a 4-pack and it's $3 a bottle or something like that.
Right.
Drink that because whole 4-pack and then let's do a podcast.
Yeah.
I will.
I'm down.
I think DJ made the attempt once and regretted it.
So Marty, what is the alcohol by volume on Tank 7? Remind everybody.
It's like 9, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 8.9 or something. It's almost 9%.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's up there.
It'll do the trick.
Yeah.
And it tastes good.
Oh, it tastes incredible. I mean, I drink 2. Like, if I go out and I drink a Tank 7, I'll drink 2. And then I'm like, I'm good. Like, I don't, you know, come on, get another. I'm like, nope, I'm good. You don't mess around with Tank 7.
No.
Yeah, I remember last night with Marty at the bar, and I was ordered some Tank 7, my first time having it, and I had, like, probably 6, and then the next morning, I was like, yeah, I was dying. I'm like, bro, what? He goes, yeah, you had, like, 6 Tank 7s. I'm like, yeah, I can drink 6 beers all day. It's not a big deal. He goes, no. Like, no.
You drank a case of Coors Light equivalent is what you did, DJ.
I guess so.
Yeah, so these we just had to pick these up at the grocery store or station, and that's like 0.1. So, you know, we're good.
There's nothing wrong with Boulevard Wheat.
No, not at all.
All right, so hey, let's get into our topic. I wanted to get. I think it's a great topic for the both of you guys. Especially, I like it that, you know, DJ's, you know, built a business and brought on employees. You purchased a business and you're trying to run it where you're, you know, it's you're letting it run as a business. You're an owner. You're not really there all the time. One of the main issues for any detailing business, because it's so hands-on and so service-based, is then the detailers and the employees, quote unquote. You hear all the time, you know, wanting to expand, it's so hard to train somebody, or I want to expand and bring somebody else on, but it can never just do what I do. Like, so I think it'd be a really great, interesting topic. A lot of people will get a lot of great information out of this. Let's talk about employees. So Jake, how many employees do you have? And DJ, how many do you have?
Right now I have 7 on the payroll. 2 are and some are internships elsewhere. So I've got 5 guys working for me right now.
Yeah, wow. We're about the same. There's 7 on payroll.
And what would you define as your biggest headache?
Employees. Duh.
Hey guys, if you're listening, Ross, Matt, you guys are the best, but DJ, I'm right there with you, bud.
I mean, and I got guys listening too, probably. It's just, it is what it is. I mean, any business owner, like, I mean, you're dealing with, we're dealing with seven different people's personalities, seven different opinions, seven different families we're trying to feed. Like, there's just so many things that can, go wrong. That's, I mean, that's it. I mean, we're doing our best to manage them, not manage them, but to make them happy while also trying to get them on board of what we're trying to do with our business as well. So it's stressful. Like it's not just that they're doing a bad job and we're trying to like, they suck. It's just like, it's a lot of stress trying to make sure they're happy while also trying to have them help us grow our businesses as well.
I reflect every single thing that you just said. And you know, one thing that I want to add is, you know, I don't keep bad employees around. So if, you know, my guys are listening right now, I'm not necessarily saying anything about them. If I find out that, you know, someone's not going to be productive or someone doesn't have the integrity needed to work for my company, they're gone. And I think that my crew respects that from a standpoint of, I'm not going to let, you know, people that bring us down as a company, because ultimately the other guys are the ones who have to make up and, you know, work harder and take up the slack. So I think they respect that. And
so how'd you get to that point? Did you come in, you know, when you opened, so when you took over the business, you said that you basically just destroyed it and rebuilt it in a sense. How many employees did you have any that you were bringing on? Give us that scenario. Like, you purchase a business, your next day, what do you do with the guys?
Yeah. So, I'm not going to divert the conversation to, you know, like the initial, you know, the purchase of the company and then, you know, the transformation, but, or, you know, end up talking about, you know, too much about how that all went down. But I was promised a fully staffed functional business, you know, with everyone trained. And then I opened my doors on day one, and lo and behold, my fully staffed business, that staff, more or less, they all had been told by the previous owner that they were supposed to quit and go join him in his lawn mowing business. So as of 5 p.m. on day one, I had zero trained staff.
Wow.
And that, you know, like, I'm not going to divert the topic or anything, but that was kind of a scary night. Me and my wife sat down and we're like, yeah, what do we do? We've got some cars to detail tomorrow. And so I got a fast one pulled on me, but hey, it is what it is. I remedied and moved on.
So what'd you do?
I made some phone calls to some guys that I knew were hard workers. And I said, you know, hey, here's the deal. We're essentially at this point, the company, thankfully, we weren't installing CC105. You should check it out. 3 to 5 year ceramic coating. Back then we were essentially just cleaning cars. And you know, with some elbow grease and a good eye, you know, hardworking folks can clean a car. So I got on the phone that night and I think I probably called 100 people and I said, hey, you know, meet me at the shop tomorrow at 5 o'clock. This is what we got to do. I had an 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. class to teach that day. I brought up a personal vehicle. We ran through, you know, the products and, you know, what the detail was. We don't do, you know, 5 cars a day. We probably only had one or two the next day. And I had two guys there that showed up and went with them. And then I was on the recruiting trail after that. But I was supposed to inherit four trained detailers that were available, you know, to work and cover the retail hours of the business. And they got pulled from me right after the first day. So.
Wow. That's crazy.
How did you go about training? Did you create manuals? Like, how do you go about training a employee that, you know, and let's ask that in two ways. That at that point, how did you fully train an employee, and then did you adapt, and have you trained them differently now?
That is, that's a great way to ask that question. So at the time, you know, our first month of, and I used the old company name for about 2 months, and I knew that I was going to do that on purpose because I wanted to, you know, nail down what we were going to do under the old brand, plan for the, you know, we moved the shop and we upgraded locations, plan for all that, then, you know, kind of relaunch. And no one knew any different, whether it was one company or the next. No one knew that we were the, you know, the old company renamed, whatever. So essentially, to answer the first part of your question, I literally just told them, you know, here's our, you know, here's a list of the supplies. Here's what they're for. Make that car very clean. And that's what, you know, essentially the customer is paying for. And that's what the service from that company was. Anyone listening to this podcast should know the difference between a clean car and a detailed car. And I'm very serious about those two words. We were cleaning cars. And by the time that I moved locations, changed right. the name, staffed up, and we were detailing. So, you know, fortunately, it really wasn't, you know, much more than, cleaning at that time. Now, what I do with guys now is we do have a, you know, a pretty intense, in my opinion, employee handbook. And I employ a lead detailer who is in charge of, training, but they do their first week of training with me hands-on, that type of stuff. We have a lot of checks and balances type things when they're training, checklists, and then we have outside quality control. So a detailer doesn't QC their own vehicle, that type of thing. And we're fortunate enough to be, you know, have two or three guys, or I can come down at the end of the day and QC the vehicle. So that way a guy doesn't have to work on a car for 4 hours and then, you know, check his own work, that type of thing. So in the training
you're fixed
process,
location though, right?
What's that?
Your fixed location though, right?
Yes, so that just is clarify, the difference yeah. between, yeah.
Yeah.
Eco Green and then Pro Auto, we got two. And that's something with, you know, mobile DJ. I don't know. You probably just got one guy going and doing a job. So they got to be, I mean, they got to be able to quality control and be on point. Whereas when I'm bringing a guy along, I do have the luxury of, you know, having what I call a lead detailer do the training and then, you know, having someone else quality control before I consider them fully trained, I guess you should say.
So, DJ, how do you guys differ?
Yeah, I mean, we're very similar. Me and Jake spoke for, I mean, a good 45 minutes, an hour, not long ago, and we're kind of in shock and awe of how similar we are in our mindset and businesses, but we're completely different because I own a mobile operation, and we have, you know, three mobile trucks with two guys per truck. We've got a fixed location we use for coatings, you know, here and there, but we also have a fixed location at our Tulsa International Airport too, where we do detailing for all the people that, you know, come and do valet. But, in regards to quality and checks and balances, you know, we've created apps within our company that we use, that have, you know, within the app, it has, you know, the customer information and, you know, the inspection, you know, you can mark off damages and so forth, but it also has an inspection form on there that the guys have to go through during the process of detailing a vehicle. They check off, you know, did you crack the windows and clean the window? Did you get the lug nuts clean? All this 3-page checklist they have to go through and check off after they've done the work to kind of keep them accountable of quality and so forth. So that's kind of how our guys keep up with it. And then I have a form myself that, if I go out and I'm doing quality checks on guys randomly, I can show up and I can open the app and I can go through this, you know, 3 or 4 page thing. And then at the end of it, it creates a quality score for them. And if they get 85% or higher, then they pass. If it's lower than that, then, you know, they get reprimanded because the quality wasn't where it needed to be. So that's kind of how we monitor things. Everyone's always somewhere different. We had to create different apps to manage the company remotely. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. I thought it'd be interesting to have your perspective and, you know, what would be different between the two of you guys' styles. So you're using, you know, a bit more with apps and different things like that, but at the same time, you guys are still both doing quality control.
Absolutely.
Make sure that the employees do what is the guideline for how you want a detail to be done.
Yeah, and I wish I could just go downstairs or go to the other room and, like,
check over the work 5 minutes and be done. But, you know, unfortunately, I don't see nowhere near every car we put out at all. So I have to trust that the guys are going through their forms and going through the systems. Because if they go through the forms and the systems properly, then the customers will always be happy. But if they don't, if they're skipping on things and not doing their, you know, not following the protocols, then that's when we're going to have issues with, you know, customer complaints and so forth.
Hey, Marty, you really don't need both of us on this podcast because DJ is speaking for me 100%. And since the first time I talked
that,
to DJ,
that conversation we had, yeah.
You've literally just said, you know, everything that, you know, I could possibly say. We do everything that you just said, but in hard copy form, and then we file it as far as, you know, the quality control and the inspection and stuff. And, you know, maybe one day when I, you know, if I can progress the company a little farther, we can do, you know, some electronic stuff. But everything that you just said, yeah, that's, I mean, that's exactly, especially as far, if they follow the process, do what they're supposed to do, you know, take care of those things, the customer will always be happy. When they neglect it, it's not so much that they're not talented at detailing. When they neglect those things, that's when, you know, issues can arise.
And that's what I wanted to ask next. So I love that you said that. Let's transition. What happens when they don't do what they're supposed to? How do you handle that, Jake?
Oh, I got to go first on that one.
So go ahead.
I try not to be a mean boss by any, you know, stretch of the imagination. I try not to get down on guys. I don't believe in just straight, you know, putting someone down and, you know, then somehow they're going to get better. Let's say worst case scenario, someone does put out a car. It goes through quality control by someone who's qualified to do QC, and still somehow, some way, you know, it comes back to us. I always, you know, first of all, make the customer happy and make everything right, take care of them. And then I try to identify, you know, the root of the cause. And almost every single time, what I've found out is that a customer's standards, we can detail below our standard and a customer can still be happy. We can detail to our standard and a customer will still be happy. So that gets kind of muddling. What I've found is a lot of the issues actually come from miscommunication, and that might be due to my business model of having fixed location, multiple employees, whereas, you know, DJ's got guys going out doing a job mobile. I could have a guy, you know, I don't have 5 full-time employees. I mean, I've got part-time employees. I've got one guy who makes a sale on Tuesday. That car comes in the following week. Someone else is detailing it, and then their shift ends. And then a third employee is, you know, sending the car off at 5 p.m. during pickup. There are a lot of potential breaks in communication. And almost always, you know, if there is an issue there, it's because of a communication break. A customer, you know, specifically said, I want this stain removed. And the salesman said, you know, they saw it, they gave the quote. They said, oh, our shampoo, you know, and extraction is going to take care of that. We don't need to do any extra work. The detailer did what he was supposed to do, saw no stain removal on the order. That stain didn't come completely up. And there you go. There's your communication break. No one mentioned that we need that stain up, but maybe they just didn't pay a little extra for that, you know, tiny little spot on their seat. It's always comes back to something like that. So the talent aspect of detailing is less important to me than being diligent and simply, I mean, literally just not being negligent. You know, fill out the paperwork, use the Square calendar correctly, and communicate with, you know, if you leave and, you know, you've got a morning shift and someone is replacing you in the afternoon, communicate where you're at in the car, you know, what you've done, and make sure everything goes smoothly. So I think that's pretty much, you know, the biggest issue that I've seen. And then I just try to hire guys that are coachable. And if I hire someone that's coachable, then I try to coach them instead of just, you know, put them down and tell them they did a bad job, because that doesn't seem to be very productive.
And so let's go take it a little bit deeper. You've got a guy that's, and granted, right, I get it. want to respect some inner business, and especially like you said, in case one of your guys is listening, you know, I'm not trying to get you to step on toes or anything like that, but let's just say that you've got a guy that's just not doing what they're supposed to do, and I'll hit this towards DJ first, and then that way you can catch your breath. What do you do, DJ? How do you handle disciplinary measures when you've got a guy that's just not doing right? We know it's a skilled craft. We know that we've tried to do quality control. We've tried to do things, but they're just not getting it. How do you handle that?
Yeah, it sucks because a lot of, you know, business owners in this industry, you know, it's hard to find good help. So a lot of us at times will walk on eggshells around team members. You know, you don't want to write them up because, you know, if you write them up, you're afraid they might leave or they might get mad at you. They might not do good work for you, blah, 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 blah. Like, I used to be that way a long time ago, and some people still are. And, you know, I let a lot go sometimes because I try to look at the more of the positive than that one negative. But if there's a guy like that that's just really not doing his job whatsoever, like, and it just something needs to happen, I pull him aside. I typically, you know, towards the end of the day, that way they don't, it's not, you know, first thing in the morning, then they're just like, you know, treating the guy they're working with like crap or have an attitude towards the customers or not doing a job. So you got to be strategic about when you do it. You know, that makes a big difference. But I just sit him down and I just literally speak with him about, hey, like, here's what we talked about when we first hired you, and here's what you're not doing to reflect what you said you were supposed to be doing or what you signed up for. And, you know, why is that? You know, I let them talk, like, why do you, you know, I feel that, you know, it's this, can you tell me what, you know, and I just open it up for conversation, just kind of talk through it, because sometimes it could be where they might, I don't know, like, something that they couldn't communicate to me at all, and they're just holding it in opposed to, you know, communicating to me the whole time. And then it's just something that was an easy fix. And sometimes it's not, you know, so, and I'll either give them a written warning, or I'll just speak with them about it. If it's a good conversation and everything goes well, and I feel like that they get it and they understand where I'm coming from, then I'll just let it be. And if it happens again, it's a written warning. If it happens again, it's a second write up. And then the third time I let them go. Like, it's tough. It's hard. I don't like to do that. One of my top strengths is harmony. I like to keep the peace. But I'm also a good relator too. So I can relate to people really well and kind of get what I need out of them or from them if they work with me. So yeah, I mean, those conversations are really, really hard, but they have to happen, because why would you want to be paying someone full time in your business that aren't helping you push your business forward at all? So you have to have those conversations, you know. You know, that's, yeah.
How many guys have you had to just part with?
A lot. Like, especially in the earlier years, we had a lot of turnover. I mean, there's been quite a few. Man, I don't even want to put a number on it, but there's been a lot. Lately, not so much. Lately, the guys, like, the way we run our company now, people either leave because they have a better opportunity somewhere else, which I applaud most times. I'm like, hey, like, of course, this job is just a stepping stone to what you need to do next. You did a great job. I appreciate it. A lot of the guys leave better than they came in. They always think, they said, hey, man, I learned so much about myself. I learned about this and that, because we do a lot of different, like, you know, strength finder tests and different assessments and stuff that help them better themselves and stuff. So they always leave better than when they came in. But yeah, lately I haven't really had to let anyone go due to our hiring process. You know, when we have someone we hire, like, we know they're going to be a good fit after the fifth or sixth interview. So taking all that time and money and effort in the initial interviewing process eliminates the high turnover rate we had back when I first started this.
Nice. All right, Jake, what are your thoughts?
I was trying to take notes there. you told me to catch my breath, but really what I did is I just drank a Boulevard. So DJ hit on some positives, and I kind of want to do that too. His guys are now leaving him, you know, better than when they came in. It's a stepping stone, and, you know, it's a positive, you know, a positive thing in whatever they're going to do long run. And the first thing that I want, you know, when I hire people, I want them to know is I got their back. You know, if you've got stuff going on, I'm there for you. You know, how can I help you be successful, not only with the company, but, you know, in your ultimate goal? And one of my detailers is a perfect example of that. He landed an awesome internship and, you know, kind of a almost a managerial role because I was kind of letting him run things. He just had that type of responsibility level. And, you know, I gave him a great recommendation and they called me and they really thoroughly vetted him and it worked out well for him. So I'm very proud of him. And I lost him because of it, because they offered him a full-time job. So he's not going to be coming back after his internship, but that's the best. I mean, that's awesome. And I want all of that, you know, for all of my employees. So, you know, a lot of very basic things that unfortunately, you know, maybe some, you know, a good portion of the population doesn't understand that if you are just on time, you work hard, you're willing to learn, and, you know, you kind of have the attitude that, okay, you know, maybe I don't understand right now, but if I am patient with myself, I will figure it out and do a good job. You're going to be successful. I don't really care what the industry is. So those are the types of things that I'm looking for in individuals more so than, hey, do you have, you know, 5 years of detailing experience and that type of thing. So when I have a guy who's in the situation that you mentioned, repeatedly, probably just being negligent, ignoring the process, that type of thing. I also, you know, at a certain point, I just talk to him face to face. I don't have right now a formal, you know, write-up system like DJ does, but I'm pretty much going to copy everything that DJ does. So after today, I will. But I sit him down and I remind him about his interview. And I said, hey, these are the things I asked you about in your interview. You know, are you going to be hardworking, willing to learn, on time? And then I bring out the company mission statement. I have I show everyone our company mission statement. I have them sign. And a big, you know, the first bullet point on that is integrity. And, you know, I got to take a man for his word and vice versa. But actions, you know, ultimately are, you know, what it comes down to. And I have a pretty good, everyone sits down and says the same thing. So when I have that conversation, just like DJ has his conversation with his, they sit down and, you know, they all say the same thing. They're going to do better. They're going to work hard, you know, all that. And I hear it all again. And it's pretty much at that point, I can tell whether they're lying straight through their teeth or if they're genuine. And I will give them that next chance. But if we break that conversation and I know they're lying straight through their teeth, I've already got my, you know, I've got a contingency plan in place, which might be a little easier for me having fixed location, because generally that just means that person's hours get cut and someone else's get, you know, bumped up, since they're not, you know, driving the truck. But, you know, when I left jobs, when I was younger, the boss always shook my hand and said, you know, sorry to see you go, but good luck to you. And I've been trying to think, I don't think I've ever been fired from a job. So I just, you know, whatever it was, whether it was minimum wage or, you know,
why'd you laugh? Hold on.
No, keep DJ. Going. Stop. No, keep going.
Hold on. No. So DJ laughed. DJ, when did you get fired?
What'd you get fired for, DJ?
It was like a mutual thing. Okay. It was mutual. Like, I definitely should not have been there. Yeah. It was mutual. I was just a really shitty employee.
Really?
Yeah, really, Marty. You tell me, you were my boss at one point.
Crickets.
Oh, really? No.
Now that's what he was really getting at.
No.
That's hilarious.
Tell me the story. How'd you get fired?
I don't recall, Marshall.
Oh, not come right on.
Oh, man.
No, come on, guys. Come on.
I don't know which story I want to tell. It's the thing.
Okay. All right.
Lame. All right, keep going. Sorry, Jake.
All I was going to say was, you know, I was always too afraid, you know, to do something, you know, to get fired, and it didn't really matter what it was. I just wanted to do a good job. Now, it doesn't mean I didn't hate a lot of the jobs that I did. and I was looking for something better, but, you know, I didn't want to slack off to the point where, you know, I got fired or anything. But that's pretty much all I'm looking for, you know, when I hire employees is that type of attitude. I'm not asking for superhero detailers. I'm, you know, just looking for that, you know, that work ethic and trying to bring that out. I think it's within a lot of people. It just may not show up immediately. And if, you know, maybe you can coach that. Let me have my illusions, please.
Yeah. I mean, I think it does come back, like you talked about, like, I think it goes back to, honestly, how people are raised as kids. You know, you were just said, like, you never got fired from a job. Like, you, at some point, you were programmed to work the way you worked. And so I think a lot of it comes from, it depends on how somebody is kind of raised or taught or the way they're grown. But you are right. I was not a good employee myself, but it wasn't that I got fired from places. I fought the – it's really interesting. I look back, especially at, you know, after Dad passing away and then that – him being gone out of my life, it lets me also go back and remember – I go back to remember some things about him or discussions we had. One of the discussions that we always had – he never understood as I was a kid or even through high school and college and out of college, like even out of college, he wanted me to go work for somebody. And I struggled. It was so hard for me to work for somebody because I would start doing a job and I would just find all these other ways to make it better. Or I want to do this, or, hey, you could do this. Like I would, I was never good because I just always felt that there was sort of like what's that analogy of you put fleas into a cup and then you put a lid over the cup, they eventually can't, you can lift the cup and the fleas won't jump out. Like there's this eventually you just can only go so far. That's the way I felt, and I struggled working for somebody because I was always trying to do this or do that. And as a kid, I think it all came, you know, the way I am now, I think it also comes from the way I was as a kid. Does that make sense? Or did I just really just jumble up a bunch of stuff?
Have another beer, Marty.
Thanks.
It was good. It made sense. Sorry.
I think you just described why you are a business owner now and not an employee.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, so when you guys taste this Boulevard, let's go ahead and rate it. What do you taste? What do you like about it? And what's your rating, 1 to 5, Jake?
Oh, it's a hometown. It's a hometown beer. Boulevard Wheat. It's a solid go-to. I can't say it's a 5-star. That'd be a disservice to 5-star beers. But for the hometown rating, I'll give it a 4.
Okay. DJ.
Definitely my top 3 favorite beers. I don't even know my other 2 are, but this is definitely like one of my go-to beers. Like if I'm at a bar and there's nothing else I want, I know I can get a Boulevard Wheat and be fine. Definitely a 4.5. I've always liked Boulevard Wheat.
I get it. I mean, I take a chug, super easy to drink, but I'm going to be probably more in that 3-ish for a wheat. If I'm going to take a wheat, I'm going to, if you put Boulevard right next to a Blue Moon, I'm going to grab a Blue Moon. I think it's got more flavor. I think it just, to me, it's more of what I like.
I got a question for you guys. Do you got lemon in your Boulevard, and are you putting orange in your Blue Moon? This is a serious question.
I did not have time to stop, but my wife does essential oils, so we have lemon oil. So I put a drop of that in there, and it's freaking amazing.
Marty?
The answer is no and yes. No, I
so
do
he
not
does
have
the orange.
No, I do not have a lemon, but yes, in a blue moon, if you're at a bar, they just naturally put that in, right?
They put it, yeah, the, I mean, they'll put it on the glass, but do you put it in the beer?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I love fruity stuff, right? I'll throw in fruit or whatever into any beer. I love that stuff.
Yep, and then that's going to be the fundamental difference. I'm going to drink the beer and not the fruit juice. So that there's the topic right there.
Nice. Yeah. Like it. All right, before we, I guess, sort of our closing thoughts, and then we've got tipsy topic, you know, we're going to tab out and we're going to ask you some questions, Jake, so just get ready.
Okay.
But closing, you know, like 5 minutes, quick little hit. We've talked about sort of the negative themes of employees. Let's quickly hit a positive. Like,
I got one.
I think so, Jake, you're taking your guys to a baseball game this weekend. I've gone and done some stuff with my guys.
You've spoiled the hell out of your guys. Cody was in Tampa and Florida.
Yeah, he took him to Warrensburg, Missouri.
I mean, this dude keeps... No. I wish I was Marty's employee again. Like, now, screw the car wash days. Like, now I want to be your employee. Like, we're going on trips to Florida multiple times, to Vegas, like, all paid.
It's nice, right?
You hired him?
And then, right.
Right.
You know, Cody got to do the fun stuff. Trey got to come up to the wonderful city of Warrensburg. And I will get into that here in a minute on my tipsy topic question.
No.
Yep, you know what's coming. But, you know, you're going to take your guys to a baseball game. DJ does some stuff where he takes his guy. You've done a couple things. Why don't you guys give some ideas on growing your company culture through not like breaking them out of the monotony of the 9 to 5 to Friday.
Okay. So I'll start by saying this whole time you've been talking about employees being called employees. We call our employees team members in our company.
Team
like,
members.
We've never cool. want like cool. from like almost day one, it's always been a team member because it's not a diss on any company that calls your employees because 99.9% of people like that's just what they're called, employees. But I'm so like, I could not have done this without my guys. Like, they're literally my team. Like, if I didn't have the guys I have right now, like, I would not be where I'm at today. So they're like literally my team. So that's just how I call them is team members. So, but yeah, so we do things like, we went to like every Christmas for sure. We go do something really fun. Like we do dinner. We've done like flying tea, which is like, you know, I don't know if everyone like flying tea is like a top golf where you go and you rent a little range and you just, you know, drink, get some appetizers, you know, play some games with, you know, with golf. We've done laser tag. We've done main event, which is like a place where there's like bowling, laser tag, arcades, like, and then even, like Marty said, like outside of the monotony, like we've done days where it's like what do you call it? Jeez, I'm going blank. Anyways, it's a day where we will literally be at the office all day and we will go through like just different training activities, team building activities, like bring in breakfast, lunch, and then go do something for dinner or whatever. And just have a day outside of detailing, like everyone come in your casual clothes, like, you know, and just let's just hang out. Let's learn, let's get some training and let's have some, you know, some competitions, let's do some, you know, we do things like that on a regular basis just to keep the culture alive, because it's so, when you're working 40, 50 hours a week, just detailing cars over and over and over again, like, you know, it's just, it gets old. So to have those, you know, quarterly events or whatever, it just really keeps the culture alive, you know?
Nice. Jake, what are your thoughts? What else have you done besides taking them to baseball games, or, you know, what are some of your ideas?
So I'm a big fan of, you know, treating the crew for hard work and stuff like that. But from, you know, my old jobs from back in the day, the only thing, you know, that really stuck with me was the camaraderie of, you know, if I didn't like working with somebody, then the job sucked. If, if I liked, you know, my coworkers, it didn't matter what the job was. I enjoyed the job. So one thing that I stole from DJ was a, you know, a kind of a team member interview. I just call it a sit down where, you know, an applicant sits down with the current team and, you know, they just get to feel each other out and, you know, ask questions and I'm not around and none of that gets back to me. And so I really just try to, you know, since I only have 5 to 7 employees, create an environment where these guys don't hate showing up to work and seeing each other's faces. And then if that's, you know, kind of your established, you know, how things are, when you do break up the monotony, like we have payday parties where no matter what, we're done at 4 p.m. Everyone goes and deposits their check and we're going to, you know, do something for a couple hours. And then everyone gets home to their, you know, girlfriends, wives, family, whatever. Something, you know, we're kind of kicking off a new staffing schedule with the semester starting. So I'm taking them to Royals Cardinals on Friday and we are going to, you know, leave at 3 o'clock and the shop's going to be closed. And then as soon as we step off the property, we're not going to talk about detailing. We're just going to, everyone and, you know, kind of enjoys hanging out with each other already. So it's not like that work environment where you only have one thing in common and that's the work. And so that's kind of the atmosphere that I'm going for. And when I have to go down there in detail, you know, one of the very first things that we talked about was, you know, how much are you involved or whatever? And I said, way too much. I have to go down there in detail quite a bit just to make sure everything is out on time and everything's perfect. But I genuinely enjoy being in the shop environment. Like sometimes I have to look over my shoulder and make sure that, you know, there are no customers walking in and stuff because it can get pretty raw, but I love that the guys are that, you know, I love that the guys are that open with me, you know, and around and they kind of, you know, they're not afraid to be themselves. And I think that's kind of step one. Then if you do the types of things that DJ was talking about, then, you know, that's just kind of icing on the cake. You know, something like, I was planning on coming down to Total Auto Solutions paint correction seminar this Friday. If you guys are interested, maybe he has some extra availability. Total Auto Solutions, led by Mr.
Okay,
Duval.
Okay.
But instead,
Marty's very bashful.
Tickets. I think that was the last one I had written down. That's the only other plug I could get for you.
I'm good. but you're gonna take him to a Cardinals and Royals game, right? And go do some fun stuff with him.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, and like I said, as soon as we step off the property, no more shop talk. We're just gonna have fun.
So I'm a little. I've drank 3 now. I'm gonna pretend like I'm tipsy. Are you gonna be able to hold your beer this time? Like when you go out with them, are you still gonna call the dinosaurs? I mean, what are you gonna do?
My plan is we've got a DD, and my plan is to start early and then just see what happens from there. So the answer is no.
Aren't you?
What's that?
You're calling the dinosaurs again, aren't you?
So we have to rent a minivan to fit everybody. And if someone pukes in the minivan, at least we can detail it before we bring it back.
Hey, yeah. There you go.
So the story behind that is, DJ, I went up there. I took Trey up there to his shop, worked with them, great crew, had a great time. And he was like, you know, we'll take you out, go grab some dinner and grab some drinks. I mean, and it was a full like 4 or 5 hours of like drinking. Like we went out, like, and I think we even ended up at like, I mean, cause it's a college town. So then
that's my kind of day, man.
Yeah. Like, right. Like so we end up even at a college bar rooftop, getting what did I buy us? Wasn't it Long Island iced teas or something?
Like, oh God!
Like everybody, like Trey was almost already passed out. We get to this place, we start drinking more. I drink two of them because one of his guys disappeared, and we get back to the hotel, and the old man is the only one that survives the night. Trey,
you did not.
Jake are in the corner puking their guts. We visit the puke pile the next morning, and I make fun of Trey because of it. So, you know, that was the fun time in Warrensburg.
Wow. Me and Trey really bonded at that moment, and I don't want you to take that away from us.
You guys held each other's hair back?
Yeah, all of my gray hair.
Jake, are you coming to SEMA? That's a yeah.
We should. That's a yeah. Let's just put it that way. We should.
So, DJ, tell everybody why they should come to SEMA. And...
Dude, like, this is going to be, like, probably the best SEMA of all time, of my time. Like, so Tuesday night, which I believe is the night before Halloween, which is, okay, so yeah, the 30th, we rented out a spot. I forget what it is.
Gordon Biersch Brewery.
Yeah, and the first 75 people, there's a link you can get. I'm not sure where the link's at right now either.
Jeez, give a program.
Shut the fuck up. The first 75 people to sign up on this link get to drink for free the entire night we're there.
Whoa.
2 hours, yeah. 8:10, Gordon Biersch Brewery. Go okay, to free
2 hours of unlimited beer is like, that's a lot. That's a lot.
So it was funny. I was talking to Jason from Sonax. If anybody ever follows Sonax, you're going to know who Jason is. He's their main sales guy. Super cool dude. When you're with them.
Side note, real quick, we're name dropping. Ring Doyle and Bob Phillips signed up already.
True.
Oh, wow.
They will be there.
So, and Jason signed up, and I called him, and I was like, Jason, man, I sent in a part of the list, and of course, I was just joking, but I was like, hey, they sent it back. They charged me twice for you. They said that something about you've been there. that dude
Jason is the shit. I love him.
He can drink. So
I love that guy.
He's a lot of fun. All right. So, Jake, give us your social media. Give us your handles. How do people get in touch?
Hey, check out at WBG Pro Detail. That's Instagram and Facebook. That's where I want everyone to go check out. That's where we get to Instagram's where we get to show off a little bit. Facebook's mostly for, you know, the local stuff. But WBG Pro Detail, give us a follow. I'll follow back.
Nice. Ooh. Nice. And, DJ,
You can find me at DJ Patterson on Instagram or at Eco Green MD for the business.
Nice. And we are at Total Auto Solutions. Jake, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate you coming on. DJ, as always, thank you for what you bring. And thank you guys so much. I really appreciate what you guys have done. Really
yeah,
great.
This,
a lot
this,
of great.
You know, this whole podcast process is a little new to me. It was extremely easy, much like Y-Wax Ceramics.
Oh, my word.
Oh, God, dude.
So easy. Why would you ever wax again?
This is ridiculous. I got to cut this off right now.
I'm cut off, guys.
You're cut off.
Marty, I'm sending you a bill.
Nice try. Yeah,
have a great night.
See ya.
Thanks, guys.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.